You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
The title of the Bill Simmons podcast episode that we are about to discuss, the bleakest NBA team situations over the next 5 years with Ryan Russillo. The bleakest.
If I'm a Bulls fan, what am I excited about? They've done a job with the Jordan legacy. I just don't really know what this team is other than a team that's going to go 40 and 42 every year. So that's my number one pick.
Wow. How about that?
That was mean.
Thanks.
He did give them an extra win from the norm of 39 and 43. So there's that.
There's a silver lining. There really is.
Can we just hear more cool French accent and hear what he has to say about Matis Bouzelis as an example?
Yeah, I think he played really good. So that's just like helped me to have a role model on the course.
I mean, come on, man. That French accent is everything.
You're like happily bouncing over here when you hear it.
I took a lot of French and I never sounded like that.
You have no balls on cheese.
He also called Bouzelis a role model.
Robbie, you say that, but aren't you happy that he's saying Matis Bouzelis is my role model as opposed to Patrick Williams is my role model?
Yeah, that is definitely... definitely.
How do you say onions, baby onions in French?
Onion, baby onions.
Okay.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is Wednesday. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. And yes, that is how you say it in French. Oignon, baby. Oignon.
You know what? I don't even try to pretend to do the French accent, because my accent, being from Alabama, just... it's just good enough that I have the non-accent that I don't have. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yes.
So
we work hard to get rid of our drawls when we come up to
these
parts.
So all the just blessings in the world to know Essengay and his ability to speak more than one language and to sound competent and smart and like a guy who I want to hear from, even though I would rather have the unprotected draft pick from you-know-who.
Bienvenue à Chicago, Essengay.
C'est bon.
J'aime jouer au basket. So this is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. That is Ray Diaz. That is Robbie Triano. Our producers, Brandon Fryer, helps out as well. You can also check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And that is where our video producers are, Connor O'Donnell and Jacob Stutz. And I would love to start with fun French accent time with Noah Essengay, but unfortunately... we have to start with something a little more, as we would like to say in French, tromal, bad. And that is what happened in Minnesota last night. Cubs go down in a big, big way. Unfortunately, they got out to an early 2-0 lead. The Twins did before they ended up winning by a final of 8-1.
It was not that close.
Your stopper, unfortunately, in Shota Imanaga didn't stop. And I think even though it was only two runs that he gave up early in that first inning, there were a lot of hard hit balls, and they continued to be so. Porter Hodge had to wear that one, gave up six earned runs. John Birdie ended up seeing time on the mound. But regardless, it just gives you more indication that the plan you may have originally had, especially now that you've got two main pitchers injured out of your top three in Justin Steele and also Jameson Taillon, you are going to have to make adjustments, especially when you know that the guy you expect to be your stopper can't quite stop in the same way right now. There were a lot of hard hit balls by the Twins during Shota's entire six innings yesterday. Now that doesn't mean he's not good still, but when you're not giving him run support and then you end up losing by a final like that, you move on, but you pay attention to what you can learn from it.
As the game was coming to its conclusion, and by that, I mean when John Birdie entered the game to pitch in the eighth inning, I started thinking about what was the most concerning thing about this game. Shockingly enough, I came to the conclusion that it was not Porter Hodge. I also came to the conclusion that it was not, I know you're concerned about Shota Imanaga, but if you go 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position and you put up one run, congratulations, Justin Turner, on your 200th career home run, by the way. I don't know if you saw the story about who caught the home run. Another redhead who happened to be a Cubs fan.
And he was 6'6".
It was odd, to say the least.
And I think his name is Justin as well.
Yes. And what happens up there at 6'6"? Let's be honest. What happens up there at 5'6"?
Wait, how tall are you?
5'3".
I mean, it's about the same.
Are you sure?
No.
The air's not thinner?
The air's not, well, I wouldn't know.
You can reach things?
Actually, I would know, because like,
you're 6'4".
No, I'm not. Yo, I appreciate the extra 2 inches. This is not a dating profile. I don't have to lie about it. I'm just 6'2".
Just? That's a whole foot taller than me, basically.
11 inches.
Yes. Yeah. Good math.
You know, that's what I do. But listen, height's not that important.
My point is, it's an easy thing to have happen where if you're 6'6", the ball comes to you. So nice catch, Justin. And yes, credit to Justin Turner for home run number 200. Unfortunately, it came in a blistering loss. There's a good stat that I want to tell you about that Marquis pointed out. If your eye test isn't enough here, Shota Imanaga isn't the same in a difference that is probably going to show on a scoreboard right now. I'm not to say that he might not get back to his original pre-hamstring injury form. 2024, he had a 25.1% strikeout rate. 2025, 17.4%. When you've lost a bit of your velo on your fastball that wasn't very fast to begin with and you're working high, these types of things are going to happen. We saw it in the Cleveland game. We saw it again yesterday.
I don't know how concerned I am about that. I mean, I am concerned. Don't get me wrong. I think this goes back to the overall point, Layla, that when people are saying, what do the Cubs need? What do the Cubs need? I'm like, starting pitching. They need two starters. One of the reasons I said that is because they need someone who is as good or better than Shota Imanaga. Because when it comes to who you're facing in the playoffs, the other teams have aces. Shota Imanaga is a very good pitcher. If he is their ace, I don't know that that's good enough based on what we've seen from him as far as a playoff series where every run counts.
And when you're watching the game last night, I'm thinking the same thing, but then I'm also thinking at that time, the Cubs didn't score a run until the eighth inning. Ninth inning, actually. The Cubs didn't score a run until the ninth inning.
Yeah, they were already down 8-0 when they finally, let's scratch the surface.
Yeah, so at that point, you're going, where's the run support? And we saw, again, a couple of situations with runners in scoring position that reared their ugly heads. It's the number we keep track of. They were 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position last night. You got to get people on, though, too.
Do you want to talk about who was in the situation when they had runners in scoring position, two out, a chance to perhaps cut the lead in half or even tie the game with an extra base hit?
We have to.
It was Dansby Swanson.
It's Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, that's exactly who it was. And there's this feeling in a situation such as that. Raise your hand if you thought Dansby Swanson was about to drive in a run in that situation. Oh, nobody raised their hands.
I hate to say it.
And this is not new. This is something we've been talking about virtually most of the season. And I think the main thing you need to understand, I tweeted about this last night, is that with runners in scoring position, and with runners in scoring position two out, he is their least effective everyday hitter.
Least effective on the team.
And when I say least effective, I'm talking about an OPS that's in the low 400s. Do you understand how horrible that is?
It started off when we first started discussing it as bad, and it got worse. Like that was the most frustrating part too. You know, it was originally, 141, and now we're down to 136?
He has a 405 OPS. That's on-base plus slugging with runners in scoring position. He has a 410. It goes up by 0.005 of a point. A 410 on-base plus slugging combined. And he's hitting, as you mentioned, in the low 100s as far as batting average is concerned. That's not good enough. He has to be moved further down in the lineup. Nico Horner should be hitting where Dansby Swanson is. And you're like, Nico Horner, he doesn't have a lot of pop. Maybe not, but he gets hits. If you look at the MLB leaders in batting average with runners in scoring position, do you know who's right there at the top? And sometimes he slips into second place. Nico Horner. Hitting at or around 400 all season long with runners in scoring position.
So do you think at that point you still want to sneak him up in the lineup?
I mean, there's a case to be made that he should be at the top of the lineup right now.
Nico Horner at the top? But you want people on base when he's there.
Yeah, no. I'm saying either at the top, I'm saying you can move him all the way to the top. There's a case to be made for that. Or you can move him into the six hole. You know the people... The top five people in the order, they're getting on base at a regular clip. That's what we know. The Kyle Tuckers of the world with his near 400 on base percentage. Seiya Suzuki, whose on base percentage is lower, but he hits bombs. Then you've got Pete Crow Armstrong.
Anytime your OPS is still over 800, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
But, to say the least.
But Michael Bush gets on base a lot. I like the idea of Nico Horner hitting behind Michael Bush more than I like Dansby Swanson hitting behind Michael Bush.
Regardless, you can't have 5 through 9 be a crater in your offense.
No, I don't think crater is the right word. I mean, I think Dansby Swanson has had a lot of success batting in the bottom third of the order. So just put him down there and let him do his thing.
That was the part I didn't quite understand. And I guess because he's earned it and he is your highest paid player. He's your veteran. He's your guy. I understand why they wanted to move him up. But at the same time, how many games were you winning when he was lower in the lineup? And I'm not saying the two are directly correlated to that extent, but the signs enough tell you that that is a situation that isn't producing right now. Here's the other issue, though, is we always talk about his defense, and his defense is great. You can't have him play defense on a home run that goes almost 500 feet, for example.
The 446 stuck with you, huh?
There were some balls that were just absolutely crushed.
Porter Hodge had a reckoning last night, and it was not a good one.
Yeah, at the same time, though, I'm not ready to make any definitive statements. No. Everybody has a clunker. You know how that's how I feel. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is Raheemy and Harris on the Score. Talking Cubs baseball this hour, and then also at 10:45, the rumors and the proof around what the Brewers are doing right now stands to be noted. So that's just a segment for what's coming up, if you will, the mention of what we want to discuss. When it comes to yesterday's game, though, you at least want to see some run support to help your starter breathe easier, although Shota got himself out of that jam. He did the same thing, relatively speaking, in his last start as well. But either way, there were opportunities for these hitters, and unfortunately, they just weren't able to take them.
So, are you more concerned with Shota's first time through the lineup or more concerned with just the Cubs' overall inability at times? Because, again, highest scoring offense in the league. At times, not to come up with anything on offense. We know this. You score zero runs, you're not winning. You score one run, you're probably not winning. So, there gets to be a bare minimum, so to speak, where maybe you get to three runs and you're like, you have a chance, but you need your pitching to be pretty outstanding to win a game in which you only score three runs.
It's just easier for me to take an 8-6 loss, for example, like what they had on Saturday, than it is the 8-1 loss where in reality, before the implosion of the eighth inning, you were still in the ball game, but you just couldn't give any run support. Like, that's the frustrating part. I'm more concerned about Shota's first time through the order, because other teams are going to make you pay. They're going to continue to see what they're seeing. That's why I also think maybe necessarily if he's getting better as the game goes on, he's still adjusting from getting back from injury. But there's a lot of teams that can do a lot of damage with those hard hit balls that they're teeing up on, especially if your velo is down, which it certainly looks like it was. So for me, that's the issue, is when you're a pitcher and you're working high, and I know you love the swing and miss stuff, but there's a lot higher chance of that ball getting turned on and out of the park than there is something that's kept down.
Well, looking at his ERA in the first inning of his 11 starts, it's now 4.91. That's not good. Now, it goes down to 3.27 in the second inning. Not terrible, but not optimal. In the third inning, it's a 1.64 ERA. In the fourth inning, it's a 0 ERA. In the fifth inning, it goes back up to 3.6. And then the sixth inning, it's 5.79.
Yeah, times through the order penalty there.
Yeah, yeah. So that's understandable. But the 4.91 can't have that. Because can you imagine a playoff game, and we're thinking, as of now, Shota would be game one starter, right?
Has to be.
So if he's your game one starter, and do we want to do this exercise where we say who the other starter could be? Go around the league. Zach Wheeler. You give up two runs in the first inning, what happens then? You're probably going to lose the game.
Based on the Phillies' record right now, do you think they end up in a wild card situation? Or if they'd be in the first round, right?
Well, right there, they're in first place. So, as of right...
You're praying it's not Zach Wheeler's my point. I'm already trying to figure out the scenario where the Cubs wouldn't align up with them based on potentially record or results.
The Mets and Phillies are in first place, tied. They have identical 53-39 records. The Cubs right now have the second best record in the National League, which means they get a bye in the first round. So you're waiting to see who comes.
Mythical playoffs.
Yeah, you're waiting to see who comes out. But like, even if it's the Giants, we know what they throw. Robbie Ray. I mean, pick your guy. Mm-hmm. Logan Webb, Robbie Ray. Don't let it be the Milwaukee Brewers. We know what they're throwing.
Yeah, we also know that they might be trading for other weapons.
And the New York Mets have pitchers too. So of all the teams that if the playoffs started today, you could say with pretty definitive nature that the Cubs have the weakest 1-4 staffs. Definitely the weakest 1-2.
Let's expand on that a little bit more next. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way.
at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You're listening to Raheemi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ryan Jeffers, the batter, drives one in the air, deep left field. This is trouble in the corner. That's going to be long gone. Willie Castro, the batter, and he drives one in the air to deep right field. That one is going to be gone for a home run.
And now Minnesota puts up a four spot here in the bottom.
Deep drive to left. This is going to leave the yard. Yes, it will. Upper deck.
Stop! He's already dead.
Oh, that's just cruel. This is Raheemi and Harris on 670 The Score. That was Pat Hughes calling the game for Minnesota last night along with Ron Coomer. The Cubs get tagged for too many runs against them. That was the frustrating 8-1 loss. So they'll try again. Cubs are still 54-37. They're still first in the Central, but that is definitely one you would like to have back. Simeon Woods Richardson was incredibly effective against him, even though he left after only throwing what seemed like a few pitches. I was a little confused as to why he ended up leaving the game.
I think it was time through the order. I think that's what it was. It was like, you've had this much success against this explosive offense. We have bullpen guys who can pick up the slack from here.
He threw a grand total of 61 pitches.
But he was efficient.
And then Colombe came on, and I kept thinking it was Alexander Colombe from the White Sox.
Those are two different players.
Oh, yeah, they are. But you know, somebody's name will get stuck in your head.
Oh, no, I know. I called Bo Bichette Dante Bichette the other day.
That happens. Like, I don't care what you say. When you do 4 hours of live radio, your brain is not going to always file things properly. Porter Hodge threw 27 pitches, and unfortunately, we saw what happened. He gets tagged for six large over just a third of an inning, five hits by the Twins, and that is what really made the difference in an 8-1 loss. Unfortunately, Cubs couldn't give Shota Imanaga any run support, and I think it's notable that there are a lot of people calling for Craig Counsell at that time when Porter Hodge is on to take him out, and I see why, but at the same time, I'm not going to waste another bullpen arm when you know you've got two more games against this team and then you got three against the Yankees before the break. It seemed like the right thing to do. And also, if there's a chance that somebody you trust can get themselves out of a jam, and by that I mean just find their stuff, then I'm okay with understanding the concept of trying to be able to do so.
A couple of things here. I think, you know, as a reliever, you know you're going to have to wear that because of where the game is, what inning they're in, the likelihood of a comeback is not there. I mean, we went Byron Buxton walk, Ryan Jeffers homer, Willie Castro homer, Carlos Correa double, Royce Lewis RBI single, Harrison Bader, there's your exclamation point. And I thought he was going to come out after the Bader home run, because the Bader home run, I was like, I think that's when I sent the gift that you just heard there on The Simpsons, like, stop it, he's already dead. But I like that Craig Counsell left him in, and not just that he left him in. Once he struck out Ty France, he's like, all right, get him out of there.
That's it.
It's a positive note. Get him out.
And I feel like that is important in the grand scheme of things. And unfortunately for Hodge, he only threw fastballs in that at bat. But if that's what you have to do to get out of it, then you go ahead. Also, when I watched that Harrison Bader home run, boy, was that a leg kick. Like everything that we say about how it's inefficient for most hitters and how it'll mess you up. He had his big league moment there. Now, Harrison Bader's had a million of them, but he definitely was playing show hitter yesterday with that monster swing.
Layla, you know what it reminded me of? If you were ever a kid and you just did your own thing with your friends playing home run derby over in somebody's backyard, you know, you hit it over the fence, it's a home run, and you know the meat's coming because it's home run derby. He had seen what everybody before him in that inning had done.
Yeah, why not?
And he was ready, and he unloaded. And I was just like, whew. Ultimately, you know what I said? It's one appearance. It's one outing. It's a very bad outing, but it's just one appearance.
Does it change my mind about how effective the Cubs' bullpen has been? No.
Oh, they have been.
Does it change my mind necessarily about Porter Hodge? Not really. I need to see more with him coming back from injury to say I'm concerned. 217 makes a good point. It looks like the Cubs were not very patient at the plate in a few innings last night. I would agree with that. They had two or three quick innings where they went down 1-2-3 and did not have so much patience at the plate. Pitch selection is a big deal. And, you know, we talked a lot about Michael Busch yesterday and the progress he has made. I think a lot of that is because of his fastball understanding as well, as it tends to be with most hitters. But when you consider that, let's just use the fifth inning, for example. You have a leadoff walk with Carson Kelly. But then Nico pops out, Matt Shaw pops out, and then Ian Happ goes down swinging on a three-pitch at bat. That's frustrating. We talked to Ian Happ about his lack of hits, you know, over the past month yesterday. But is that ideal? No, that's not what you want, especially when you can turn over the lineup in that way after a leadoff walk.
I think one of the better takeaways, if we're talking about the positives in this game, is I don't know if you noticed, but Michael Busch did get a hit.
That he did.
Did you notice which arm the pitcher was throwing with when he got the hit?
The discourse remains. Send him out there against lefties. See what he can do.
Let that man play every day. I think Craig Counsell has turned the page on that. So I think we can put that to rest for now. As a guy who's batting 297 with a team-high 944 OPS, I think Busch has turned the corner. There are other players that have not turned the corner. Dansby Swanson's the most notable one. Batting behind Busch. Again, I would just move up Nico Horner, to be honest, and just let him bat there, put him back down in the 7 or 8 hole and see what happens. But also Matthew Shaw, he is getting dangerously close to being below the Mendoza line at 203.
Yeah, I'm worried about a lot of the offensive metrics. I talked about that. And like, I have in my phone, I have the Baseball Savant pages for Cam Smith and Matt Shaw.
That's just depressing as a Cubs
other.
Fan to look at.
You have to evaluate them.
You're right. You're not wrong.
And the bat speed for Matt Shaw is a huge concern. Like, say what you want about it, if it's a toe tap or a leg kick. You got to have more bat speed than that if you want to be a big league hitter.
It's leaving something to be desired. His OPS at 570 is simply he's playing like a defense first third baseman. And when I say defense first, it's teetering on defense only third baseman.
I think when we talk about the trade deadline and what the Cubs need, and we will continue to do so for weeks. In fact, our stalking segment is at 1 o'clock today. We are taking a look at Seth Lugo. I think it's important to note that while the starting pitching price is so incredibly high, you still should be able to hit your way out of some of this stuff. And they did that the last time Shota was on the mound against the Guardians. Porter Hodge notwithstanding. I just wanted to see more run support or at least more scoring before the final inning of the game.
I look at the way that this game played out with those key situations and coming up empty in the 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. And I just understand that it is one game. It's 162. But the whole time you have other teams that are clamoring to get at you. And if getting a bye in the playoffs is important to you, these margins matter.
Yeah, I wish I was even there.
You're not there yet.
No. So let's listen to, I think it's important to also talk about, and you say you want two starters, and I say I want like a pony and $2 million to lose 25 pounds. So let's listen to Heidi Watney on Friday. If you missed this, because it was holiday, Apple TV Plus, she had an update on Jed Hoyer talking about the price and the understanding for a potential starting pitcher.
As the trade deadline approaches, Jed Hoyer said the team has the resources to make the moves they need, both financially and with the deep farm system. And with the injuries to the pitching staff, as you guys mentioned, their pitcher ERA is bottom five in the National League. Hoyer told me the team is looking for a quality starter, but as he said, there isn't a lot of great options available right now. You can see some of the people be rumored on the market, but he said the team isn't going to give up the farm for Sandy Alcantara with the way he's performed this season, Wayne.
The team isn't going to give up the farm for Sandy Alcantara. If that is not your indication that the price has been set as far as the Cubs are going to give up what they think is the right price. Like, they set their price in that statement to me.
But I took that statement, though, if Sandy Alcantara has a couple of good starts, the way he's performing changes, and maybe you are willing to give up more of said farm.
There's a lot of people who think that Sandy Alcantara isn't even going to get traded because he's not at his highest value yet. If you're the Marlins, you have time to wait. What I'm concerned about is that resets the entire market, if so. Because then you know somebody every year is going to set it. But if you don't know who's selling, and you don't know who is available, that's going to make this very hectic. 815, are we doing trade proposals from the meatball machine today? We decided. We've got a jam-packed show. I don't know if you heard, but we also got our hands on what the Bears are asking their season ticket holders for the new stadium.
You've got all the information on that.
We want to talk about that. We have such a jam-packed show today, especially with like Ndamukong Suh and Russ Dorsey and all these people being on, that we want to hold on to it until Friday. So you have a couple of days. If you want to call the meatball machine, leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. So you go to the Odyssey app, go to the feature, leave a voice message, and you can just get those out of your system. I think it's important. Like everybody who is proposing trade packages for Paul Skeens, just get it out. Just go ahead and let it out so your brain can move on to the next thing.
Meatball machine.
And there's a reason it's called the meatball machine.
It really should be called, in this case, the shooter shoot machine.
You're right.
Because that's essentially what's going on. You're like, the entire AAA team for Paul Skeens. Go.
Yeah, I don't know that the Pirates have enough room. Although
the Pirates aren't even probably trading Paul Skeens. But if you need to go ahead and just vent to move on to your next sports thought, I do it all the time.
One of Paul's teammates was on the mound last night against Seth Lugo. Mitch Keller, the guy that we did yesterday in our stalking segment.
Indeed.
And I was thinking, you know what? Paul Skeens isn't available, but I would love to find out if there's anybody else that we're not thinking of down the pipe. But what you're going to have to give up is just so much for some of these pitchers that people are wish casting on. This is not fantasy baseball. This is real baseball.
No, but you know, on the meatball machine, it's not real baseball.
Live out your fantasies.
Yep. And if you need to vent, as we've said before, it doesn't talk back, unlike, say, me. So I think you should go ahead and just leave it there. Brain dump to the meatball machine. You know what I'm saying? Just go ahead and let it all out. I'm very concerned about some of the potential moves I have heard, though, when it comes to other teams, what they're working on, and who could be available. And that's when my stressometer, or at least like nosyometer, or I need to know what you're doing so I can make a counter move ometer, that's when it goes up.
I would just say my ometer is up all just the way around.
In general, the ometer?
Yeah. It's on alert. The red light is flashing, and it's flashing furiously at this point, because when you start understanding, because a lot of teams believe that they are very close. My biggest thing right now with the Cubs is understanding your offense is probably one of, if not the top offense in the National League. But guess what? Other teams already have the pitching. They need the offense, and it seems like they're going to be able to go out and get some of this offense.
Well, and for all the appreciation we did of Michael Busch and Seiya Suzuki yesterday, and appropriately so because they've earned it, there's also examples that you get where you say, yeah, the offense is good, but when there was a lack of a clutch hit, the weighted runs created plus, when you need more at times, can you get it? And we've talked a lot about, like, for example, what Dave Dombrowski saw in Kyle Schwarber, and that intangible stat when it comes to clutch hitting, not even in the regular season per se, but in the playoffs. So when you've got these examples, what are you going to learn from them? And that's what we're trying to figure out. Like, how much does that 10% difference in Shota Imanaga's strikeout rate make on the scoreboard? I'd say it was 2 runs last night. How much of a difference is it when his velo's down a couple miles an hour and you work high? That makes a difference, as we mentioned. You know, how much of a difference does it make when, you know, we are going to get into this in the 5-on-it segment. You know, PCA's, everybody's hunting fastball, and they throw you a slider, and you see it like a fastball a million miles away, and you're swinging, and it looks ugly.
Awkward.
And then how are you reacting after that?
Not great.
708, I'm still trying to figure out trade prospects and proposals for Trey Hendrickson. I'm okay with that. Go ahead and put that on there while you're at it.
You can mix that in, yeah.
There are too many times where we just immediately dismiss these things, and I think it's a fun thought exercise in sports radio, so we might as well do them. If everybody does them together, then it's not as silly sounding.
And there's the suggestion from 815. What about moving Hap out of the leadoff spot for good? I'm down for Nico to get a shot there. I understand. I'm not there yet.
Farmer Pat texts in a lot, and I appreciate you, Farmer Pat.
I'm not there yet, but I will say this. Like, Hap needs to work out of it. He's doing a good job of seeing pitches. He's not doing a great job. If he finished the season today, it'd be his lowest on-base percentage of his career at .330.
And at least he got on base yesterday twice with the walk and the hit. But again, in the innings where you could have given your starters some run support, the advantage went to the opposing pitcher on the mound. who I kept wanting to call Simeon because of the high school.
It's not how that works, Layla.
I know, but you know, you read it and that's what you're thinking. There, like I said, were some details last night that were observed by people who are watching what the Brewers are doing, and then also the Dodgers having a front seat to what the Brewers are doing. And we need to talk about both and understand what they're working on next. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Back-to-back K's for Mizorowski. Got him. 101 on the outside corner. Mizorowski ends up striking out three. Got him. Curveball down and in. Five straight strikeouts. Got him. Right down the middle at 99. He ends up striking out three in the inning. He's got six in the game. Strike him out with a curveball. K's Ohtani. K's Freeman.
I'm in danger.
It's so true. Like, that's the issue. If you were paying attention to other games in baseball last night, or your social feeds, or you were just wanting a little bit of an escape from A, the rain delay over at Sox Park, and B, the Cubs game, this is Rahimi and Harris on the Score, by the way, you may have paid attention to what was going on in the Brewers and Dodgers game. Up the street there, Milwaukee was hosting LA, and I always pay attention, especially when the Dodgers, who I still think are the standard bearer of the National League when they're healthy, are facing a division rival. And that's when Jacob Mizorowski, yet again, just absolutely goes out there and shoves. 12 strikeouts, a 101.6 mile an hour fastball past Ohtani. It's him against Clayton Kershaw, so you're really looking at a changing of the guard here. And he answered the call yet again. How do you describe what he's able to do? Four-seam fastball, he's got the slider, he has a four-pitch mix, and when you see it all together, it's just incredibly impressive. That fastball-slider combo, he works in that curveball and that change as well. But when you can throw a slider it will never not be amazing to me at 96 miles an hour. This is elite stuff. If you're not paying attention to what the Dodgers are doing, you are going to be wondering what happens at the end of the month. Like, this team is, they have a plan. They are bringing up the young guns. And I think they're going to make some big moves at the trade deadline.
You know what's crazy is, like, this was a bounce back that I didn't see coming. Because I thought, okay, the league's got a little scouting report on him. The Mets got him for two bombs the last time out. He had given up five runs, which, is, of course, is a career high for him. And if you remember how that game started last night, first batter is Ohtani. What does he do?
Gas. Straight gas.
No. The gas was returned. He goes deep. And so thinking, okay, Ohtani just hit a home run. The Dodgers are going to help out the Brewers. That's the last run they would score in the game.
Yeah. I was just thinking about what he was throwing in return.
Oh, no, he was throwing gas, and it got sent back the other way.
But you're right, though, and that's even a good argument, because you can live with the home run. You can live with the solo shot, especially if you're a reliever. You just can't do it in succession. but you can live with a solo shot because nobody's on base.
Right.
It's when the person's on base and then you're having to work from behind. That was quite the matchup. I mean, he just continues to amaze.
The scary part is if you look around the league and see what people are saying about Jacob Mizrowski, whether it's hitters,
right,
whether it's other pitchers. Basically, they're saying this guy isn't even like a refined product yet. That's scary. He goes out, gives up one run over six innings, and strikes out 12. And he's not, that's not him in his prime. This is just a young guy going out here and doing stuff.
Grr. that's what you want. This, it's not necessarily to say, oh, we're really cheering for the Brewers. I don't think that's what's going on here. But you've got to respect what they're doing. I think even picking up Jose Quintana was savvy. Yeah, I don't question when they make a lot of moves like that, because they also are good when it comes to fits. They're good with understanding who's on their team. And why do I get the feeling that Pat Murphy really kind of just like aw shucksed his way out of the beginning of the season? He's like, oh, you know, we're just a little team that could, and we're injured, and we can't spend all this money on people. Well, you've sure invested in talent development. You sure invested in scouting.
But that's not the scariest part, Layla.
No.
The scariest part is they've got the pitchers. You saw Freddie Peralta and what he's capable of. Obviously, Mizrowski, Woodruff's back. They have pitching. Now they're talking about going out and being a part of this buyer's market and getting some more offense.
Oh, that part. The part you didn't consider. That they, too, think they have enough talent to win this division, and they wanted to get healthy. And when I see MLB Network, for example, post last night from Greg Amsinger, who's talking about 10 potential trade deadline candidates. And Greg Amsinger is such a St. Louis guy that I joked, if you cut open his veins, a cardinal flies out. He bias toward the Brewers is not necessarily what you're going to see. When he said that he thinks Adolis Garcia of Texas is going to get traded to Milwaukee.
I don't want to see Adolis on that roster.
The panicked look on my face. As I saw what was going on in the Cubs game last night, I was just thinking to myself, oh no. And then one of my favorite low-key trade targets, Andrew Heaney, he thinks is going to Houston. And this is just Greg's estimation. But MLB Network has a lot of research, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of sources. So I'm paying attention is the point.
I think one
And
of
the, even that possibility was terrifying.
One of the things that makes Adolis Garcia scary isn't just the fact that he's, you know, a two-time All-Star, but he has championship experience. He knows how to get it done in the playoffs. And those are the types of pieces you add, especially on offense. They've been in those situations. They know what clutch looks like. And you can tell me you don't believe in clutch. It's the absence of choke. But no, those moments mean something.
I think they know how to get there. And that is still the biggest threat to the Cubs right now. It is a race between those two teams on who's going to get there. Because that's the best way you can ensure your playoff chances, when you understand that there's probably a total of 25 teams in the big leagues who all think they're buyers still. But you better respect them and the power that they have to be a buyer as well.
My biggest thing going forward is what we talk about is who's a World Series contender and who's a pretender.
that can all be spun on its head come July 31st.
Maybe more so than ever before.
Yeah, I mean, two players in a couple of trades can make all the difference in the world from a team that's challenging for a wild card to a team that's now back in the division chase. And the Brewers certainly fit that bill.
But wait, there's more.
What more do you have?
This from the Athletic, you know, our friend Jim Bowden is not afraid to throw a theory out there. Like, he's calling the meatball machine with a possible trade discussion. You know what I'm saying? He's that guy. Sometimes I swear to you, you have to think it out loud before you get to the real thing you want to think about. So he posts this yesterday. If Alex Bregman is unavailable or unable to come to terms on an extension with the Red Sox, he could be traded to the Mariners, Tigers, or Brewers. In a world where you thought Alex Bregman and Rafael Devers were going to live peacefully in Boston and they were going to contend in the AL East, you now have to deal with the possibility that the Brewers have enough draft prospect capital. I'm still in NBA mode. That they have enough where they have enough prospect capital to acquire Alex Bregman.
How about a world where you thought maybe possibly this offseason that the Cubs were going to get Alex Bregman? And oh, wait, he just ends up on the Brewers.
In a world.
Come on.
Play the music again. Play the chords.
I look at a lot of what Jim Bowden says as hyperbole.
It's very meatball machine.
It's he could be a meatball machine meatball avatar. Machine. Just his face. Here's why.
Just his, and you press on, yeah. You press on the button, but it's really Jim Bowden.
Here's why, though. The Red Sox are a game out of a wild card spot. Let's start with that.
Again, teams that think they still have a chance.
They've also won five games in a row.
Everybody is Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber.
So they've won five games in a row. They're a game out of a wild card spot. They've actually won eight of their last 10 games after they had a six-game losing streak. So they feel like things are heading in the right direction. Because let me give you the run totals in those 10 games. Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
15, 3, ooh. 13, 5, 4, 11, 10, 6, 9, 10. Does that sound like a team that's hurting for offense?
No.
And so understanding what Alex Bregman's been able to do to help move that along is, I don't think they're getting rid of Alex Bregman.
I also don't think he probably goes to Seattle. I think that the gap might be too wide at the end of July.
I'm just saying, Alex Bregman, when he comes back and is in the Red Sox lineup every day, That's problematic for a lot of teams out there.
But Detroit or Milwaukee?
Well, Seattle is the team that I would look at the most because they have the talent. And also, the one thing I'll tell you is that team can already pitch. They just need bats.
Yeah, they need more bats. You're right. Yeah, and that is the point. Is there certain people still coming online, as we like to say? We have more coming up here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Let's check in with a guy who is no stranger to a meatball concept or two, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. We discuss NFL next on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.